Welcome to the Ortho Joe Podcast, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. Join hosts Mohit Bhandari and Mark Swankowski as they discuss current topics and publications in the world of orthopedics and beyond.
Morning, Mo.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I got my cup of Joe here.
And, yeah, I got mine. I got mine. Good old Canadian brew.
So it's the loyal Canadian.
I'm loyal to
the Maple Leaf flag and O Canada and Tim Hortons and in that order, I believe. But
that is true.
Ortho Joe mug, and of course we're having a cup of Joe. But just to remind the audience that the Joe is really the Journal and Ortho Evidence. So that's the Joe. You know, aren't we clever? Orthopedic surgeons.
But. This was your brainchild. I'm usually pretty good at acronyms, but this is yours. This is all yours.
It wasn't bad. But it's pretty good. I have my absolutely priceless Ortho Joe mug to just alert our guests that you have to talk to the people in the mailroom ahead of time, because these things have a way of disappearing and then being sold on the black market. They're absolutely priceless. So. It's my pleasure to introduce our guest, Dr. Colleen Sabatini, professor, pediatric orthopedist at UCSF. And if I can do this from memory, so UCSD undergrad, a Harvard Medical School, Harvard Orthopedic Residency, and Master of Public Health, and came back to UCSF, to the West Coast, in I'm going to say 2010 or so. So 14 years on staff. And Dr. Sabatini was in major leadership roles at the Children's Hospital there, but kind of stepped back to devote even more time to her passion of international medicine and orthopedic surgery. So she's also, I believe, on the board of the Gladden Society and is making great contributions to that fine organization. So we wanted to chat with Colleen today about the origins of where did this come from, the passion for international medicine, and particularly Uganda, and what's it been like joining your colleagues who are also passionate about that in San Francisco, and where's it going from here, and how do you advise people who aren't so fortunate to be at Harvard or UCSF to get into this activity. So that's a lot of questions I just loaded on there, but let's just start with where'd the passion come from?
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for having me on the Ortho Joe podcast. It's really an honor to be here with both of you, people who I admire greatly in the work that you do, and the opportunity to talk about something that I'm really passionate about, which is global orthopedics and service. And thank you for that introduction. I sometimes take pause in my own life and wonder where this path came from, but I've learned to not question what your heart leads you to and instead to just embrace it fully. So I grew up in Colorado, went to college thinking I was going to be a marine biologist. That's why I went to UC San Diego. And during my time at San Diego and being in California and being in college, was exposed to so many new and different things in my life. And I realized that I became very engaged and passionate about work around what we would now call equity. Probably didn't necessarily have that word back then the same way that we use it now, but really social justice, access to healthcare, access to education, and issues of disparities in the US, both health and education systems. And so I shifted from maybe thinking about marine biology more to public health. I worked in public health for a few years before I ultimately decided to go to medical school, because I had not been on a medical path, even though I was at UCSD, which was a highly pre-med institution. And my work in public health really solidified my interest in working with and for communities that were traditionally disenfranchised from the U.S. healthcare system and the justice and education systems. And that's what sort of invigorated me about medicine. I had an amazing mentor, Dr. Robert Ross, a former pediatrician who had become the head of health and human services for the County of San Diego, who was sort of the person in my life, having never come from, you know, didn't come from a family of doctors, who was the first to say, "Why are you not going to medical school?" And I didn't have a good answer for him at the time as to why I wasn't. So I really thought about medicine and ultimately decided that that was a way in which I could make an impact, a positive impact on the world. So moved across the country, went to Harvard for the combined MD-MPH program. Had not really been exposed to surgery, didn't think that surgery was really going to be something that I would be interested in because I had never heard of or talked to a surgeon who talked about issues of equity or global health. But man, did I love surgery when I did it in my clinical rotations, both general surgery and then truly the icing on the cake was being in the orthopedic OR, doing clinic with John Hall at Children's Hospital of Boston. Like that, I mean, the day I did clinic with him was the day that I decided I was going to be a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. And I ultimately decided that I would figure out a way to merge my passion, my newfound passion for orthopedics and surgery with my commitment to issues of addressing disparities in health, both in the US and abroad. At the time, I didn't think there were people out there that were having those same conversations and thinking those same thoughts, but I quickly came to realize that there were. And as I started to build that community of people, it just further invigorated me in doing this work. When I was at Harvard for residency, I was fortunate to do some work with Tom Thornhill, Dick Scott, Jeff Katz, who were starting Operation Walk Boston, and we were doing work in the Dominican Republic. So I was the resident that was able to help start the resident component of that work. And then when it came time to finish my training and take my first job, it made the perfect sense in the world to come to the University of California, San Francisco, who had already had at that point, 11-year commitment to residents, global orthopedic exposure through our resident rotation. And in 2006 had formed, under the phenomenal direction and inspiration of Rick Coughlin, the Institute for Global Orthopedics and Traumatology. And so it just felt like the place I should be in order to build with others this vision of global orthopedics, and was really, you know, excited to come and build the pediatric orthopedic program with my colleague, Mohamed Diab. So the rest is sort of history, as they say. So 14 years of being there, my work has really morphed over the last 14 years, and excited to talk about any specifics you'd love to hear about.
So if I can jump in, Colleen, could you speak a little bit to kind of right now, what gives you, like, in terms of your personal priorities around the interactions you're having with colleagues all around the world? Is it based more on mission work? Is it based on research? Is it based on education? Where are your priorities at this point?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Very much my emphasis is on capacity building and partnership and bi-directional learning, really. So anybody who's ever heard me talk about this or seen me give a talk probably knows that I actually don't think that mission surgery is a particularly great idea for lots of reasons. I think if it's done well, it can be not harmful, but if not done well, it can really serve to undermine a lot of things in the host country, and including, you know, the work of the surgeons that are there, the demands on the local and regional governments to support healthcare for their people. I can go into that a lot, but I think, although I had done some service work early in my life, I think I quickly realized that it's really about creating partnerships and about listening to our partners in other places, in other countries, that to hear what they really need, what they really want to help build their surgical programs in their countries. And our role should be one of support, coming from a place of listening first and then offering that support, you know, with time once we've really educated ourselves on the area and on the needs. And so I really focus in the work of the Institute for Global Orthopedics and Traumatology, we'll call it IGOT from now on during this, but all of us who do this work really have a focus on capacity building, whether that be on the education side or on the research side. I do a lot more on the ground work than some of my partners. I spend about 4 months a year in Uganda right now. And in that work, I'm seeing patients in clinic, I'm doing surgeries, but always with one of my Ugandan colleagues. We have a fellowship there now. So really I'm working with the orthopedic surgeons who are doing pediatric orthopedic fellowship. So I'm there teaching as I would be at one of our hospitals here at UCSF. And I think that's really where, ideally, for people who want to do this work, the focus should be. So when you're young in your career, you might not have as much to offer per se, because maybe you're still solidifying your skills and your knowledge. So going and teaching somebody else who's been in practice for some years might not be the best step. But we have so many access, like so much resource access here in the US and in Canada and in all the high income countries. We have research methodology in our medical school education and in residency. And those are some of the skills that we can help transfer. Because research is important everywhere, right? Some of the most important research that I think needs to be done over the coming years is how to address some of these problems that are persisting in countries where they don't have great access to surgery. So for example, I do work in chronic osteomyelitis, which in the US is basically unheard of, right? We don't see that many kids that go on to have significant problems with chronic osteomyelitis. At the hospital, Korsu Rehabilitation Hospital that I work at in Uganda, 20% of our surgical cases in children are chronic osteomyelitis. And there's a lot of questions that still need to be answered about the best ways to manage chronic osteomyelitis with or without, you know, significant bone loss. So we have a study right now on vascularized fibula flaps for the treatment of long segmental bone defects, you know, work that would never need to be done in the US, but certainly has a phenomenal impact across low and low middle income countries where children are still presenting with significant sequela of chronic osteomyelitis. So, and my colleagues in Uganda want to do research. They don't necessarily have the financial resources to do it, and they didn't have the opportunity to get much educational background in research. So I can teach research methodology. I can help bring resources in to conduct research that answers questions that they're interested in, that they need to know for caring for their population. So I think research is really important. And then education. Obviously, in the US, we have great access to orthopedic education. We have all the amazing journals. We have all of these conferences. And in other countries, surgeons don't have access to those resources, whether, you know, because they're behind firewalls, or you have to be members of an organization, or you have to pay for a subscription, or your institution has to have a subscription, and most of them are not institution affiliated. There's so many roadblocks for surgeons around the world to get access to this very critical information that they need in order to take the best care possible of their patients. And they're just like us. They want to be able to give the best care possible to their patients, but they don't have access to all the same knowledge resources that we do. So I think of myself as a conduit of some of that information, and sharing what I have access to with people who need it, I think is really important. And I think as an orthopedic community, if we could think about ways where we can get knowledge into the hands of the people that need it, that would be one of the greatest humanitarian things that we could do as an orthopedic society.
Well, I just would point out that all surgeons in the developing world have access to the full portfolio of the journal. And we'll tag that to this podcast for anybody out there listening who's in one of those countries that would like access. But in one of the 14 questions I asked in the introduction, what would you advise a resident who's developed a passion for this kind of work who isn't at UCSF, Harvard, or here in Minnesota, or some place mm-hmm. where there's already a built-in program? What advice would you offer that resident?
So I think first and foremost, the most important thing is to learn as much orthopedics as possible and become the best orthopedic surgeon and educator and researcher that you can become, because those are all the skills that you will later transfer and be of benefit to those that you work with in the US and Canada and abroad, wherever that might be. So I think that's really the fundamental role for the younger surgeon or the younger resident. But I also think it's important to be connected to folks, to start to build the community of people that are going to inspire you, that are going to create opportunities for you. So while you're doing all your focus on your learning and your skill development, to reach out to people who you know are doing this work. I think fundamentally we're everybody's a busy orthopedic surgeon, but we, most of us are in academics for the purpose of supporting the next generation and helping to help them achieve their goals. So if you're at a program that does not have somebody who's doing any kind of global health work, I think it's very valuable to, you know, do your research online, to kind of look into the careers of people at different centers who do global health research and education work, to read some of the research studies, right? See who's doing work that you're interested in, that you're inspired by, and then reach out to them. And I always tell people when I'm at meetings talking about this, that just remember that everybody's a busy orthopedic surgeon and we get a lot of emails. So if you reach out and we don't get back right away, to give it a week or so and send another email. But most of us are happy to meet with students who are interested in this work and to help connect you to somebody in your area who we know might be involved in that. We also have, many of the centers have research, you know, opportunities for students who are not at their home institutions to still be able to do remote research work, to be able to travel in country and do work in the various countries that we have projects. And so I think reaching out is important, but always doing the homework first, right? Like, you don't want to have a meeting with somebody and it's like, oh, tell me what you do, right? Well, it's all available online for all of us as orthopedic surgeons. So that's sort of a sage lesson for anybody who's reaching out to an orthopedic surgeon, is there's lots of available work already. The bios on people's hospital websites, their academic profiles, and their whole list of publications. So I always appreciate somebody who's done that work and sort of can say, hey, I'm particularly interested in this body of work that you've done about XYZ. And that helps me know that they're going to be really engaged and they're going to be self-directed, and I'm going to be more inspired to want to work with them and help them. But there's some really great people all across the country that are doing global health work in what I would consider a good way. And so reaching out to folks, you can reach out to me and I'll tell you who those people are, and happy to share and happy to encourage collaboration and relationships across the whole spectrum. And importantly, I have wonderful colleagues around the world who I have come to know. I was fortunate to chair the International Committee of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons for 4 years and got to meet surgeons from all over the world. I've done a lot of work, as we said, in East Africa, but also building, you know, coalitions in Africa. And I have a lot of partners and colleagues that do work in Latin America. So we have the opportunity to work with and know surgeons from across the globe, and connecting students to people who are in countries that maybe their families are from or they're particularly interested in working is one of the things that I get a lot of pleasure out of, because I love to connect, you know, our students here with our partners and our colleagues around the world and foster that further development and building of the orthopedic community.
Chris, I was gonna ask you here, Colleen, that it wasn't lost on, I think, to our listeners and those watching, that you're spending 4 months on site, and for many, I'm sure they're thinking, okay, how does one in their career figure this out? But more importantly, I guess on a personal note, how did you decide on the type of time commitment? And is that what you believe is what is needed if we want to make meaningful interactions and have meaningful collaborations? You know, the typical approach we often hear about is, well, there'll be over some period of months, there'll be like an extensive, you know, or, you know, intensive period of a few days to maybe a week, where, you know, individuals typically go. That would be the traditional mission approach, I think. But I'm very curious about your thoughts on the amount of time commitment on the ground that you certainly have prioritized.
Yes. Yeah, thank you for that question. When I first started at UCSF, my first 3 years, I really just focused on building my practice and in getting things solidified in my life at UCSF. And in 2013 is when I started doing work abroad. I took my first trip, and this was a lesson to me. And I used this example. I really wanted to work in East Africa. I was very drawn to East Africa. And I asked around at meetings and, you know, who's doing work that anybody knows of in East Africa. And everybody in the pediatric orthopedic world said the same person, Norgrove Penny, who has become sort of, you know, my orthopedic father and mentor. Norgrove is in Victoria, British Columbia, and based out of UBC now, and their global surgery program. But Norgrove had lived and worked in Uganda for, you know, 6 years, and then moved back to Canada and was going back and forth to Uganda. And that's actually my first introduction to Uganda, was through Norgrove. And my first trip there, I fell in love with the people and the country and the orthopedics, and have now gone back 25 plus times since then. In those early years, I would just go two to three times a year for 2 weeks at a time. 1 week was too short because it takes 30 hours to get there and 30 hours to get back. So if you're only going for a week, then your whole time is taken up by the travel. And honestly, that time was a combination of sort of research, my dedicated research time that I sort of lumped together, and vacation, quite honestly. And so I did that for a few years where I was going 2 to 3 times a year. So 4 to 6 weeks total over the year. And I never felt like I was there long enough to even really get started, right? To even make a meaningful like contribution, because it's so important when you first go to really listen, to observe. We tend to think that we know how things should run in terms of a hospital because we're all about efficiency and whatnot in the US. But really going and learning and seeing how they do things, understanding the culture of the place before you inject yourself into it is really important. And I always felt like I only had just like gotten to the point where I was becoming a part of the community and the team, and then I needed to leave again. And so I wanted to be able to move to something where I could spend more time there, using sort of the Dave Spiegel model from, you know, all of his work in Nepal for years. His early work in Nepal was, 6 months there to really become a part of the team. And then he was going back for, much longer periods of time than anybody I knew was doing that work. And so he was a real inspiration. Norgrove was a real inspiration, having spent years in a country and then continuing to serve was an amazing model. One that I didn't at the time think that I could do, but I did want to find a way to spend more time. So after, 9 years of being at UCSF, I felt like I had done a lot for my department and particularly our group, having been the chief at Oakland Children's for 7 years at that point and building up our group there. I talked to my group first and asked them, hey, I'm really thinking about trying to find a way to spend more time in Uganda. Is that something that you guys would be okay with? Like, if I happen to go away for long periods of time, would you be willing to take care of my patients if something happens, right? These are things as surgeons that we have to think about. We're not like the ID team who's like on service for a couple of weeks and then doesn't have any clinical responsibilities. So you have to have partners who are going to also be committed to your work to the point where they're happy to take care of your patients for you if anything happens while you're away. So with them on board and them very supportive, and I have such gratitude for them for the support that they give me. But with that support, I went to our chair, Tad Vail, at the time and asked him, if I could move to a model of basically being 50% clinical in the US and 50% global. And we negotiated through that and came to an agreement that I could do that. I think it's important to acknowledge that I do not make a full-time salary. So in case anybody is under the false notion that, there's a chair that's going to pay you a full-time orthopedic salary when you're only making RVUs for half the time, I don't think you're going to find that. But if you do, that's amazing. So I was willing to give up a chunk of my salary in order to do this. I do appreciate that I have full-time health benefits. And so you do have to work with your chair and your institution to find something that would work if you're going to be gone for long periods of time. And I do think that I don't know anybody who has done a large time of work away and not had a financial, deduction for that. So you have to be passionate enough about the work that you're willing to give up some of your money for it. And so since 2019, then I have been spending, I say that I spend 4 months in Uganda because of that 6 months, any conferences that I go to, any vacation that I take comes out of that 6 months of away time. And so that ends up giving me about 4 months and of time in Uganda. And then I often teach in a couple other countries during the year. And then obviously go to all of our major academy and POSNA meetings and things like that in the US. So that's what that has become for me. That time is so important because I do believe very much in, becoming a part of a place in order to actually understand what needs to happen to have an impact. And then when we worked on creating this fellowship, so the College of Surgeons of East Central and Southern Africa started a pediatric orthopedic fellowship, and through funding from an organization called CODIN, which was started by Mark Berry, a retired pediatric orthopedic surgeon from the US. He started bringing in funding and support for fellowships in different countries in East Central and Southern Africa. So Tanzania, And then Uganda, and I believe he's moving to Zimbabwe next. And so we were able to start a fellowship in Uganda, and I continue to work with and train both the pediatric orthopedic surgeons that have already been trained in country, as well as fellow and residents in pediatric orthopedics, because historically there was not any pediatric orthopedic education in their residency program. Yet 50% of their population is under the age of 14 and has some of the most interesting pediatric orthopedic pathology I've ever seen in my life. So it's been wonderful to be a part. I continue even when I'm here in the US, I do weekly conference with my team in Uganda. So I help run their education conference, which for them is every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, which for me is Wednesday night at 10 or 11 p.m. But that's the time that works. And that keeps me connected to them even when I'm not there. And then when I'm there, I'm one of the team. I'm on the ground with them. Again, I don't do service on my own. My role is not to be a physician there. My role is as an educator, a collaborator, and a supporter. So I'll do clinic and OR with my colleagues there. I'm making sure that I'm teaching them what I know. And they teach me so much as well. Like I feel like my orthopedic skills have been so enhanced by the work that I've done. I see pathology that I never would see here. And honestly, you have to do surgery with much more creativity and ingenuity than we have to in the US. Because if I can't do something in the US, I know that I can just get that special retractor or that, you know, the special device, or I have all the suture and whatnot in the world that I could ever need and all the implants I could ever hope for. And over there, we don't. We have to make do with, you know, what's in the box. And I think it's elevated my surgical skills significantly as well. I think you only know how good you are when you have to really react in the moment and make something up, because that's all you have. So it's been really great, I think, for me as well. So that's how I've done it. I don't think you need to do, you know, you don't have to give up half your time at home and your salary and all of that. I think there's other ways to do it, but that's the way, Dr. Bhandari, I've chosen to be involved and be committed. I don't think, though, that like, the one-off, you know, 1 week a year type of work is as meaningful as it can or should be. And I think that when you're only spending that much time, you're really going in and saying, I know what I'm here to do. I know what I should do, and I'm going to do it, as opposed to I'm here to integrate, to be a part of this team. I want to first learn what you're doing, what your challenges are, what you've already tried that hasn't worked, because maybe that's so obvious that you've already tried it and me saying it is actually insulting. And so I think we need to make sure that when we do this work, we recognize that our orthopedic surgeon colleagues around the world are just as smart and just as motivated and just as driven as we are. They just have a lot less resources in certain places. So they're not able to necessarily be doing things the way that we think they should be done, but there's a reason why they do the things that they do. And it's up to us to make sure we understand why that is, and then be creative alongside them to develop ways to, you know, improve care and bring in resources and get access to surgery for people who need it.
Well, Dr. Sabatini, thank you very much for spending. I believe it's we started at 6 a.m. So here again is giving up of early morning hours to speak with us on Ortho Joe. You're an inspiration to many, and I think you've given out a lot of important information. Perhaps the most important, that we should consider these activities as collaborative and not anything else other than that. Go with the attitude that you so nicely demonstrate of sharing what you know and learning from our colleagues abroad. So thank you. Have a good day in the clinic or the OR, and expect the absolute priceless Ortho Joe
so excited
to arrive sometime soon.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for the opportunity to meet with you today. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye.